You say that John was fascinated by the number 9, of course, a true believer in numerology. Let's play a real quick clip of the song Revolution number 9, then we'll get your reaction to why this number was so important to him.
Number 9, 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 number 9. Number 9.
Okay, so why the fascination with that number?
Well, you know, John had studied numerology, and as he was studying his life, he noticed that his life was with nines. I mean, he was born at 6:30 p.m., which is 6 plus 3 was 9. City of Liverpool, 9 letters, 72, 7 plus 2 is 9, Wavertree. His best friend was Stu Sutcliffe, who had 9 letters. The Quarrymen, his first band, had 9 letters. His career really took off when McCartney joined, and McCartney's the only Beatle with 9 letters. They were discovered in the cavern on November 9, 1961 by Brian Epstein, so that was a 9. You had 9 years to 1961, that was 1970, the year the Beatles broke up. And I remember, like many millions of other fans in the United States, I was in front of my television set on February the 9th, 1964 to watch him perform on the Ed Sullivan Show. So all of these things played a major role in his life. And when Brian Epstein died on August 27th, so 2 plus 7 is 9. And then it gets even more bizarre because I'd read that he kept like a number 9 over his bed because he was really into it. Songs like the one after 909, that was one of the first Beatles songs, but yet it had nines in it. He also did Revolution 9, which he played, number 9 Dream. So all of those are real interesting because of the symbol of the 9. But when he came to the United States in 1971, after the Beatles broke up, you add 9 to that, it's 1980, the year he was murdered. And of course, the Dakota was located on 72nd Street, 7 plus 2 is 9. And the apartment number in the Dakota was number 72. And when he was shot on 72nd Street, he was rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, 9 letters, located on 9th Avenue. And he was pronounced officially dead at 11:07, 7 plus 1 plus 1.
Very strange. Very strange. You know, you say he was haunted with premonitions of suffering a violent death. How long were these premonitions haunting him?
Well, is actually after the breakup, because he had told Frederick Seaman that he'd lived a sort of a violent life, you know, that he was angry, and he had this frustration, and he believed that if he was to be shot, then it would be some form of karmatic debt that would allow him to pass on to the others. But I mean, seemed to be obsessed with the idea, and some of the other Lennon insiders had heard him mention it too, and it was pretty macabre, but you know, it's just really odd that he was talking about being shot, and then all at once, you know, here you have the murder with Mark David Chapman. Some of the other strange similarities with that is that if you play the opening lines to Come Together, and when the song started, of course, this was in 69, Lennon makes a sound at the first of it, and if you listen carefully, you can hear him. What he says is, shoot me.
All right, let's listen to that, okay? Here we go.
Sure.
All right, so what was the message behind that, Gary?
I think it was just something he did at the spur of the moment. You know, when he did, Strawberry Fields Forever, at the end, a lot of people heard, I buried Paul. Of course, John said that he said cranberry sauce. And sometimes we just throw these little things in. And it was just really odd because the very first of it, shoot me at the first of it. And then, of course, you know, you can make things fit any way you'd like. But, I mean, the song Happiness is a Warm Gun, and then you have this. I mean, it was something, I don't know whether it was some form of premonition or whatever, but I know that he was very interested in divination, and he would clean out a lot of bookstores, you know, so he could read about prophecies and all the others.
Why didn't a guy like that have a bodyguard with him?
Well, you know, I think he liked the freedom of being in New York and being able to walk, you know, to Central Park. He walked with Sean every day, and it was the freedom of this. I mean, when the Beatles were in New York the first time, they couldn't leave the hotel. They were prisoners of their success. But Lenin enjoyed the freedom of New York, and he didn't see it as a problem. And that was very unfortunate, because the thing that he enjoyed the most, his freedom, is what led to his death. But, I mean, there were a number of people who, you know, fans would wait outside the Dakota. He'd come out. He'd sign album covers. He'd take a limo. He'd work at the record plant. He'd come back. He and Sean, Yoko, would walk down the streets. People would say, "Hello, John." He'd nod his head and keep going. He thought there was there would be no threat there. So it's very odd, very sad.
I used to hear Kennedy stories that he would sneak out of hotels. Let's say he was in Greenwich Village. He would sneak out of hotels. The Secret Service couldn't find him. He'd be in some local tavern just sitting there talking to people. John Kennedy, while he was the president.
You know, and everybody would say, "This can't be President Kennedy. Why would he be here with us?" You know, it was just the idea of walking and making friends and being a part of it and not being trapped by your celebrity status. And of course, the Dakota was pretty well protected. I mean, this is a place that's very hard to get in, so you had the protection there. But, you know, just the idea of being an average person and walking the streets and with your son.
Chapman didn't have to worry about getting in. All he had to do was hang around on the outside.
That's right, because there were fans who were there, and the doorman and everyone else, they knew that people were there to see Lenin, and they didn't see how John Lennon would be a threat, why anyone would make him a target. And especially since Lennon had dropped out of the music scene for a number of years. I mean, from somewhere around 1975 to 1980, he just stayed in the Dakota. He was a house husband. He wanted to take care of Sean, and so his music, actually nothing very well, not anything strong was released. And then in 1980, he makes his comeback, and this is when Chapman had him sign the album cover for him earlier, and then he shot him when he returned.